It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In 2010, the Pennsylvania legislature passed Act 44, which called for the divestment of state funds from scrutinized companies. Again, that's the divestment of state funds from scrutinized companies that do business in Iran or Sudan. The Pennsylvania Treasury recently presented a report on how that divestment impacted the Commonwealth financially. Keith Welks, Deputy Treasurer for Fiscal Operations, joins us now by phone to discuss the legislation and the most recent report. Keith Welks, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad to be on. Appreciate the opportunity. And I'm sure your viewers are probably grateful that the boring segment on bullying in football is done and we can turn to this exciting topic.
Well, this is there are things about this that go beyond the numbers that I think will certainly be of interest to people, especially taxpayers and anybody who's perhaps got a state pension coming. Let's start with Act 44. What is Act 44? Explain how it is, what it is, and how it works.
Act 44 was the culmination of a number of years of activism and advocacy by groups, frankly, all around the country and in Pennsylvania, who are very concerned about the fact that American public bodies, such as pension funds and state governments, treasury departments, et cetera, might be investing in states that, in countries, use the proper term in this context, states, countries that our State Department had identified as sponsors of terrorism around the world. And so efforts were initiated both at the federal level and in state legislatures to develop prohibitions on that kind of investing. And the General Assembly in 2010 agreed that it was no longer proper for state of Pennsylvania public funds to invest in Iran or Sudan. And so Act 44 established some definitions to identify what kind of conduct would trigger increased scrutiny by public funds, and I'll explain in a moment what those are, and then told those public funds what they had to do in order to get out of investments that might have involved Iran or Sudan. The public funds in question here are primarily the three pension funds, the State Employees Pension Fund, the Public School Teachers Pension Fund, and the Municipal Employees Pension Fund, and the Treasury itself, which is, in effect, a public fund. So let me stop there. That's what Act 44 responded to, and that's what it was designed to do, and it created certain obligations on each of those public funds.
So then what has the department done since the act was passed?
The first thing we did was reach out to the other funds, the pension funds, and say to them, look, all of us have now been given a set of obligations, and in large measure, these obligations are pretty much the same. And we would be doing the same kind of research, taking a look at the same kinds of companies that might be problematic investments. And we suggested that it might make sense to have a discussion about coordinating our efforts so that it could be done more efficiently, rather than having each of the funds spend money for a consultant. We thought maybe we could hire one consultant and consolidate those efforts. And ultimately, it turned out to be, I think, an effective idea. So we formed sort of a loose association of the funds, and we have, since the passage of Act 44, published essentially each quarter a list of companies that are engaging in conduct that the Act calls scrutinized. At the top of this segment, you correctly call those scrutinized companies. When we identify a new scrutinized company pursuant to the Act, we reach out to it, notify it that we've identified it, and that consequences can occur if it continues in the kind of investment activities or business activities that we found to be in violation of Act 44. The company then has a period of time to decide whether it wants to change its behavior or at least commit to changing its behavior over, you know, sort of a forward-looking horizon. If the company does not, then the fund that owns that company or shares of that company has 26 months in which to divest, to essentially sell out or close its position.
What kind of an impact could this have? Because the treasurer's role is, of course, to keep taxpayers' dollars and pensioners' assets as secure as possible. So while you're doing the right thing. You're meeting a moral obligation here. From a financial standpoint, what kind of risks does this pose?
That's a great question, and that's actually the question that that sort of centered the debate for many years before these kinds of laws were passed. Treasurer McCord was a supporter of Act 44. He had long believed that these were problematic investments. You're right that the treasurer here and the pension funds themselves have as their primary fiduciary duty the obligation to act in the best interests of their constituents or the shareholders, whatever you'd like to call them, the pensioners, not to advance their own political agenda. But in addition to there being certainly some very clear optical issues with investing in terror states, there are real risks to an investor. Let's be honest, Paul. When we're talking about these kinds of countries, we're talking about risky environments. These are not countries that are generally governed by the rule of law. These are not countries that are free from strife and a higher risk of the outbreak of sort of military activities. And so many investors, including Treasurer McCord, had long believed that there were risks associated with being in companies doing business in these countries. And so to a large extent, Act 44 and other pieces of legislation like it vindicated that view by confirming that it's just too risky an investment for a public investor. And so that's, I think, how one would resolve or address your very, I think, sharp point about are we doing foolish things from a fiscal standpoint. I think we believe not. We believe the General Assembly says not, and we believe that there's a lot of research that suggests that over the long term, these are not necessarily the best investments for the Commonwealth to be in.
So then the next question would be, where do you draw the line? Some would like to see large pension programs not invest in any entity having anything to do with the defense industry, for example, or fossil fuels, or even investing in something in Israel. So at what point do you say, how do you determine a standard that says, okay, we're not going to invest in any, we're not going to have companies investing in Iran or Sudan, but these other things might be okay?
Also a very good question, and not one that has an obvious or I think ultimately satisfactory answer. Treasurer McCord and the pension funds are directed by law to act as prudent investors. So in the absence of a statute like Act 44, the treasurer and other fiduciaries sort of try to use their best judgment to assess whether risky investments of the sort you mentioned, or perhaps controversial is a better word. Risky, I think, maybe puts the rabbit in the hat.
Right.
Controversial investments like the defense industries, like sin companies, like smoking and alcohol, gambling industries, things like that, may present peculiar risks to an investor. They may conversely be enormous upside opportunities for investors. And so smart managers, and frankly, Treasurer McCord, with his background as a very smart manager, have to weigh all the pluses and minuses. And reasonable people can disagree, which is why these are controversial areas. Absent an Act 44, each investor has to make his or her best judgment about where to be and where not to be, how much exposure to undertake. And there's never going to be a completely good answer. And each pension fund and each public fund is going to do, I think, what it can to maximize the upside while minimizing the risk. What Act 44 does is, to a large extent, shift the calculus for the industry that it's identified. In this instance, it's not an industry, it's a kind of business behavior. It's the behavior of investing in or doing business activities in Iran and Sudan. So we know where the line is drawn here. The legislature has said, anywhere else, you've got to use your best judgment, Mr. Treasurer. But when it comes to investments in Iran and Sudan, we're telling you, sort of as a matter of prescriptive law, that we think the risk is too great, don't invest there. So that line has been drawn for us in one place, and in other places it's very much a dotted line, and we have to continue to figure out how close to it we can get our toes without going over it.
And who are some of the companies that have agreed to make changes?
Well, there are a number of companies that have actually gone through the process of divesting. We started, when we first issued the list in October 2010, with about 84 companies that were deemed to be scrutinized. Now, as I said, we republish the list every quarter because companies can go on it, come on it, and go off it just by virtue of their independent business decisions made without any regard to Act 44. At the current time, the list that we published in the report that I think triggered this segment had 56 firms on it. That means that the Act has seen exactly a 33% reduction. So we've had 28 firms go off. Some firms, in fact, have gone off and come back on. Royal Dutch Shell, as an example, did cease certain activities, was off the list for a while, and fairly recently was added back to the list as we examined the conduct of some affiliates that continue to have business activities in either or both of the two scrutinized companies here. We ultimately determined that the activity by those affiliates meant that Royal Dutch Shell needed to go back on the list.
We're talking with Keith Welks. He's Deputy Treasurer for Fiscal Operations for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And we're talking about the Pennsylvania legislature's passage of Act 44, calling for the divestment of state funds from scrutinized companies that do business in Iran or Sudan, and the report recently released showing how that divestment has impacted the Commonwealth financially. Keith, how do you, or how does the department go about checking to make sure that investments are all clean under Act 44?
We had no expertise in this area, as you might imagine. Neither did any of the other public funds. So the first thing we did was to, in fact, engage a firm that has as its sort of core business tracking companies with regard to activities in sort of global hotspots. That firm utilizes all publicly available information, which is basically the test or the standard that Act 44 holds us to, in order to identify whether a given firm is engaged in business activities in Iran or Sudan. And that could mean independent, purely private activities in the country, one of the two countries, or it could mean investments directly in or purchases or sales directly to the governments of Iran or Sudan. And so that firm, again, on a quarterly basis, generates a list of every company that it's been able to identify that has the kinds of business activities that Act 44 deems to be scrutinized. We then begin a process of talking to each firm that's new to the list. In some limited number of instances, there's information that a firm can provide that corrects our perception. Either the information that was relied upon for the determination is inaccurate, or more commonly is no longer current. The company has stopped doing whatever it was that got it placed in hot water initially, and we make some minor adjustments. That hasn't happened very often, but once in a while that occurs. And then if the firm says, yeah, that's what we're doing, you know, what of it, bub? We say, well, here's what we're obligated to do under Act 44. We're happy to work with you. But at the end of the day, if you're not out within, you know, this stipulated period of time that's identified in the statute, we're going to sell all our shares of your company.
Treasurer McCord said that this is a perfect example of how different agencies can work together in order to increase efficiency and lower the costs of government. How does this lower the cost of government?
Well, I think the most obvious way to understand it is that we only hired one consultant, and that consultant provided services that all four of the funds that I described share. Those consulting costs, you know, can range from $40,000 to $100,000 in a given year. Obviously, they were higher at the beginning because we were just getting up to speed on exactly what information we needed, and the firm had to sort of get clear on what information we would want. If that firm or a similar firm had been hired by all four of us, we would have incurred, the Commonwealth would have incurred quadruple the amount that we paid. That's the most obvious. So, you know, we've spent probably about $200,000 in consulting costs all told for 4 years for four firms. you know, I'm speculating here, but it's not unlikely that that number would have been more like a half a million or $750,000 if each of the funds had gone out and independently done this. Similarly, we published one report each year, not four reports. We share, you know, staff resources in evaluating the activities that we have to take a look at and in deciding how to go forward with a scrutinized company. So all of those things mean that we're effectively reducing by three quarters what the implementation expense of this program would have been.
And the last question for you, Keith. The markets have been good this year, so how are the funds looking?
Well, Treasury's looking great. We continue to make money. I don't want to speak for the other funds. But I will say that with regard to how we've done in terms of our divestment activities under Act 44, we're actually ahead currently by about $2.25 million. That is to say that the consequence of liquidating our positions in a number of firms over the last 3 years because they did not cease their scrutinized activities have not been nearly as dire as some of the skeptics or pessimists had forecast. There was lots of grave rumblings that tens of millions of dollars would be lost because of foregone investment opportunities. In fact, at this point, and this can change, you know, at any moment and from year to year, but at this point, the funds are up about $2.25 million from the sales of scrutinized companies.
Pennsylvania's Deputy Treasurer for Fiscal Operations, Keith Welks, joining us by phone. Keith, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity, Paul.
Our pleasure. Coming up, travel contributor Elaine LeBaum suggests visiting coastal destinations. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.